to 5. If you want, you can grab your pew Bible to read along with us, or it's also on the screen behind me.
Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh, a very large city, it took 3 days to go all through it. Jonah started into the city, going a day's journey, and he proclaimed, 40 more days and Nineveh will be destroyed. The Nineveites believed God. They declared a fast, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on a sackcloth.
Thank you, Elizabeth. Thank you, Michelle. Good morning. My name is Dan. If you're new here, and if you're visiting today, welcome. If you've been here lots, welcome back. Good to have you here. Our mission is always the same. We would like you to enter into this sanctuary and encounter the living, reigning Lord Jesus. I was at a conference yesterday, and they identified two people in a room with Jesus a while ago, Mary and Martha. Martha's the doer. She's getting everything done around the table, and she's cooking, and she's stressed, and she's a little irritated at Mary because Mary has decided to sit down at the feet of Jesus and listen to him. And Jesus says, Martha, I know there's a lot going on in your headspace, but what Mary has done is not only better, it's the best thing she can do right now. Kneel down at the feet of Jesus and listen to him. We want you to encounter Jesus, number one. Engage in friendship and discipleship with him, number two. And most importantly, allow him to transform you into his image. Encounter, engage, let him transform you into his image, because that's what he does best. We all have ideas on what we want people to look like and people to do and how people are going to engage. The babies are adorable, eh? But we want to just let Jesus do that. We've been going through Jonah. And Jonah can be summarized, chapter 1. If you've been journeying with us, he runs from God. Chapter 1, running from God. Chapter 2, we found Jonah in the belly of a big fish. And he is running to God. He's praying. And he prays a beautiful prayer of thanksgiving. I'm going to read it for you. He says, those who pay regard to vain idols cling to vaporous lies. In other words, they've just attached themselves to the world system and they're running along. He says, they forsake the steadfast love of God. And Jonah says, in a very, very dark, cold, distant place, but I, with a voice of thanksgiving, I will pay what I vowed. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Jonah comes to that point in his life where he knows, I can't save myself. But the beauty of the Hebrew culture, when you hear them sing their psalms or their songs, they're making reference to other psalms that they know well. They have a body of memorized knowledge. Jonah, with a voice of thanksgiving, salvation is of the Lord. I will give you thanks. I will pay what I vowed. He's actually referring to another psalm. And you have a body of information in your head too. And we're going to play Finish the Song for Me so I can teach you how Hebrews understand their psalms a little bit better. So we'll start real easy. Finish the phrase, please. Oh, Canada. Oh, that was beautiful. Jeremy, Izzy, get back up here. Just kidding. This one will be easier for you. Winter, spring, summer, or fall? Yes. This is for our newly engaged people. Then I saw her face. Yes, good, good, good. March break, kids, you're in the March break, you're away. March break, homeschoolers. Gotta think Pink Floyd. We don't need no education. Okay, well done. Finally, you Elvis lovers, you ain't nothing but a... So that's it there. That's in your hard drive. Whether you like it or not, when you hear there ain't nothing but, oh my gosh, hound dog comes up, right? It's in your head. Every Old Testament scholar, little Jewish boy, little Jewish girl, it's memorized. It's in there. So here's a beauty. You'll know this. When the Lord is my light and my... I will lift up mine eyes to the... O Lord, how... You have searched me and... So Jonah, when he says, and this lit me up like a firecracker, those who cling to idols forsake the grace that they could have got from the Lord. Thanksgiving, I will praise the Lord with thanksgiving. Salvation belongs to the Lord. That's Psalm 31. Now, the Bible doesn't have chapter and verse divisions. So when the first people heard Jonah say that little prayer, and only Jonah could have written this because apparently he was there. Psalm 31:5 comes before Psalm 31:6. And this should light you up like a firecracker, because it did me. Before Jonah says, those who cling to worthless idols, Psalm 31:5, into your hands I commit my spirit. Yeah, say it with me. Into your hands I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. That'll preach, friends. Jonah, in the secret place, in the quiet place, maybe in your case, after the long, cold, dark, high snow winter, finally, the resurrection of spring is here. Isn't that beautiful? There are some flowers, friends, and there's some fruit that only ever occurs after a long, cold, dark, difficult time. And many of you have gone through the long, cold winter. And I love an engagement and a marriage because it is just so filled with hope. Summary, Jonah chapter 3. We're going to jump into that today. Finally, Jonah prays, and he runs with God. Running from God, running to God. Now he runs with God. Next week, please come back, because he runs into God. He runs into God. And next week is called The Indignity of Indignation. But before we get to that, I want to unpack today. And it goes like this. A long walk, a short talk, some sackcloth. A sharp turn, what we can learn. That's today. And after this week and next week, I'm taking off on a little holiday, believe it or not. Perfect timing at the end of Jonah. My wife and I are going on a little cruise to the Caribbean. So if I get spat back up on the shores of Mount Forest, you'll know I should never have gotten on that boat. But Julia's with me, so I can justify it. This little verse buried in Chronicles 16, leaders. Leaders, this is one you need to remember. If you want to be a leader, I love this. It's called God's Search for Leaders, Chronicles 16, for the eyes of the Lord. The eyes of the Lord, it says, run to and fro throughout the whole earth. It's looking for an individual so he can show himself strong on their behalf as their heart is perfect to him. Chronicles 16, 9, the eyes of the Lord roam to and fro, looking for a heart that is perfect towards him so he can show himself strong. When he looks at your heart, when he looks at mine, is the living Lord Jesus been invited into this space so God can show himself strong? Jonah knows all about God, but is his heart perfectly inclined towards him? Ezekiel, I look for someone among them who would build up the wall. Ezekiel 22, stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land so that I would not have to destroy it. God takes sin very seriously. He says to the people in Ezekiel's time, I'm looking for someone to stand in the gap, but I found none. Ezekiel 22. And then Isaiah 6:8, I love this. Isaiah says, I heard a voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And Isaiah says, here I am. Send me. Here I am. Send me. Maybe the Lord is going to whisper into your heart at some point, and you may end up being sent. Or he may send you here to stay for a long time. I love a poem. There's a book I read when I was a kid by Oswald Sanders. It goes like this. Give me an individual, a man, woman, little girl, little boy. Give me one man whose faith is master of his mind, and I will right all wrongs and bless the name of all mankind. Give me a man, one man, little girl, little boy, man, woman, whose tongue is touched with heaven's fire, and I will flame the darkest hearts with high resolve and clean desire. Give me an individual, one mighty prophet of the Lord, and I will give you peace on earth, but with a prayer and not a sword. Give me one individual, true to the vision that they see, and I will build your broken shrines and bring the nations to their knees. He's looking. What does he find when he looks into your heart and mine? A long walk. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out to it the message that I tell you. Go. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Do you not love the God of the second chance? Jonah has decided to check out. I don't want to tell those people your message. God says, go. I want you to say, no, I don't want to go. But the second time the word comes, you're going to love this, my dear friends. This time it says, call out to it. That's a real interesting shift if you read the text. Because in chapter 1, call out against it. And he shifts it, God. In his kind, there's a softening. He says, I want you to call out to it. And there's a little preposition in the Hebrew that says, when you call out to it, the presupposition is they're going to respond. I've prepared the way. God will never call you to anything that he hasn't prepared you for. You see, he's not looking for Jonah's ability. He's not looking for your ability. He doesn't need an intellect. He doesn't need strength. He's looking for your availability. Here I am. Send me. Are you available, or are you too concerned about having the ability and the education and the knowledge? Any old bush, says my friend Major Ian Thomas, any old bush will do. Moses stands in front of a burning bush, and it is not consumed because the living God is in the bush. And he says, any old bush will do. Completely consumed with the living God, it will not burn up. That's you. That's me. The phrase, then the word of the Lord came to Jonah, is really precious because then the word, it's a hayah. Just picture when you're a little kid. Hayah. That's a Hebrew word, right? Hayah davar. Davar, it's the word for word. Hayah davar. And hayah is a little root play on Jehovah and Yahweh. Isn't that beautiful? So God repeats himself. Then the word God came, Yahweh, the Lord God. God came to Jonah a second time. He says, get up and go. Isn't that beautiful? Jonah's been going down, 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 down to Joppa, down to the boat, down to the dock, down to the sea. God says, get up. And that word arise is phenomenal. It's the word for stand up. I have a purpose to fulfill. Get up, go. The king of Nineveh is going to stand up in a minute. And when the king stands up to start to make declarations, it means something. God's using that beautiful word of the day. Get up. Let's go. And it says, arise, go to that great city. Man, it says it twice. Great city that I call you to. He uses great city in verse 1, and he uses the phrase in verse 2, an exceedingly great city. And the word exceedingly is the same word for Elohim, which is Yahweh. God's name is on Nineveh already. Go to that city that I've appointed to respond to the gospel. Billy Graham would always send large contingencies of people to pray, to be in ministry with the people on the ground ever before the gospel came. Don't think Nineveh's not prepared, my friends. Don't think the people in Prague right now are not being prepared by the Spirit of the living God right now. Wherever God is going to send you next, in your job, in your work, but he's preparing fertile soil. And you'll see it here. It's quite amazing how God goes beyond and before. And it's funny because Jesus says, I'm going to give you the sign of Jonah. Jonah's a sign that points to a greater reality, and that's Christ. One greater than Jonah is here. And in 19 or 1891, a guy named James Bartley, strong atheist. This is quite humorous, friends. James Bartley, he's in a whaling ship. He's a fisherman off the coast of the Falkland Islands. And a whale kind of goes by their little boat. And if you've seen In the Heart of the Sea, you'll get it, small boat. He gets knocked in the water. They don't find him for a long time. And finally, they catch a nice big whale, and they string it up, and they slice it out to get what they're going to use for it. And boom, there's our friend James Bartley in a coma for 2 weeks. He comes out of the coma in a few weeks, pale, lots of hair loss. The acids have really changed his appearance. And in the Princeton Theological Review, this is recorded, 1891. So if you can imagine Jonah, God says, a long walk, we're going to Nineveh now. I have the raw material, broken, no hair, pale, kind of feels like me right now. And he says, I'm going to send you. It's take your kid to school day. And God goes on a long walk with Jonah to Nineveh. You see, there's nothing in Jonah now that's ever going to attract anyone to him. There's nothing in his voice that's going to be impressive. Either God's going to show up or Jonah's going to be an absolute failure. And the word walk I love in the scriptures. Enoch walked with God. You know that verse very well. Isaiah, he will mount up with wings as he will run and not be. He will walk and not. Have you ever noticed the progression? We love to walk and run and fly. It's reversed, friends. It's the downward journey. Unless a grain of wheat falls in the ground and dies, it abides alone. Fly. As you get older, you run. And then life beats up a little bit, and you walk. And that word walk stands for intimacy of friendship and obedience with God. Enoch walked. Intimacy, friendship, obedience with God. That's what's in that word walk. Isn't that precious? And now Jonah, 500 miles, and I will walk 500 more. It's about Toronto to Quebec now through that desert. A lonely man walking through the desert to tell people about a king. Boy, that should remind you of Moses, 40 days and 40 years. Should not have John the Baptist. And Jesus himself, a single lone sacrifice through the desert to save. I contracted cancer a few years ago, and if you've heard of the Billy Graham Ministries, Billy Graham has a right-hand man. His name is Cliff Barrows. Cliff Barrows is a very, very special individual, and I became friends with his daughter, Bonnie. And when I got cancer, a lot of people said a lot of things to kind of walk you through this. Bonnie knew me as a young man and knew that God was doing something in my life. She knew I wasn't done yet, and she sent me this poem on the eve of my treatment. When God wants to drill a man and thrill a man and skill a man, when God wants to mold a man to play the noblest part, when God wants to change a man, watch his methods, watch his ways, how he ruthlessly perfects whom he royally elects, how he hammers him and hurts him with mighty blows, converts him into trial shapes of clay, which only God understands. While his tortured heart is crying, and he lifts beseeching hands, How God bends but never breaks when his good he undertakes. How he uses whom he chooses. And with every purpose fuses him. By every act induces him to try his splendor out. God knows what he's about. I don't know the pressure that you have or are experiencing. But when Job goes through the trial of his life and loses family, flocks, fields, and finances, he loses everything. The bank accounts dry. The children are dead. The wife cursed God and dies. She bolts. He has zero. And at the end of the ordeal, he says, God, I had heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes have seen you. There's people in this room who know that. You've known what the pressure builds and what the pressure brings. And pain is seeing God close up. And now Jonah is on his way to Nineveh. So Jonah got up and he went. And if you've been around here any length of time, you'll know that we use the phrase, when you are sent and you went, then you're put. Sent, went, put. A young man, I was told very clearly, if you go into ministry, never ask for it. Never refuse it if you have the opportunity, and never, ever put a price on it. And for 40 years now, I've been preaching in many countries, actually, in many cities, and I have never asked for it, and I've never refused it, and there has never, ever been a price on it, and there never will be. There never will be. Sent, went, put. Where he leads me, I will follow. What he feeds me, I will swallow. And where I land, there I will wallow. I'm just kidding. He's looking for availability. God does not call the qualified. He qualifies the called. The word of the Lord, second time, comes to Jonah. Are you listening? Impossible task. It's one man going to save a nation. He's a living sacrifice, Jonah. Paul says in Romans 12, I urge you, brothers, present yourself, your body, as a living sacrifice. It's one of those oxymorons, a living sacrifice, oxymorons, jumbo shrimp. My buddy used to say country music. I love country music, just on record. Military intelligence, those are jumbo shrimps, a living sacrifice. This is your true worship. Don't conform to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, perfect will. Jonah is at the center of God's will. In the middle of a desert, pale as can be, and God's about to use him. It's unbelievable. Point two, we're going to go a little quicker. Long walk through the desert, take your kid to school day. God's conforming Jonah into his image, showing him what he's like. He's bringing him to a group of people that Jonah has to say deep in his heart, forgive them, Lord. They don't know what they're doing. The Ninevites don't have a clue. God tells Jonah in chapter 4, there's 120,000 who don't even know their left hand from their right. They don't know right from wrong. Maybe they're babies. Maybe they don't know their left from their right. Maybe there's 120,000 people that have special needs. You know, when we look at the nations of the world who are fighting right now, Gaza, Israel, Iraq, Iran, and others who we might not even know, Russia and Ukraine, thank you. Funny, we think of the leadership and we get mad, and we think of the military people and we get mad, and we think of the destruction, we get mad. How much time do we spend thinking about the little kids that are completely pawns in the middle of this absolute horror of war? Interesting, eh? God has the little kids on his head, on his mind the whole time, the little ones. That's why I love hearing them cry and engage, because we want them here. May there be more kids in here bawling their eyes out. Oh, we love it. Well, Jonah comes in a short talk. Here's Jonah's message. Jesus loves you. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. No. Jonah says in 40 days, Nineveh will be overthrown. Now that word will preach, my friends. 40 days, yet 40 days. It's coming. It's inevitable. It's on the way. You're going to be overthrown. And the word is hafach. It's a beautiful word, and it means to turn, overturn, change, transform, but it can be for worse or for better. Isn't that great? 40 days, I'm going to turn everything upside down, God says. And the main time it's used in the scriptures over the course of the Old Testament, it's used of God's power to change a heart and a circumstance. 40 days, I'm going to change the hearts and the circumstances. Isn't that great? And all you have to do, as we were encouraged a few weeks ago, is just put your hand in the hand of the man who's in control. Hafak. It'll be overthrown. And in 40 days, and when you hear the word 40, you know your numerology, Noah's flood, Moses on the mountain, 40 days in the wilderness, but always, ever, only, the Bible points to Jesus, 40 days, 40 nights. It's a sign. Jonah walking around that city is a sign of Christ who's going to come and make the ultimate changes. There's an urgency in Jonah's word here. 2 Corinthians 6. In the time of my favor, I heard you. In the day of salvation, I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. There's an urgency. You're feeling a little stirring in your heart, and maybe I need to get right with God. Maybe I need to embrace him. That's good. That's from him. You receive that. Hebrews 3 says, it's been said, today if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Receive him. There's an urgency. So there's a short talk. Amazing how in a few words, and there were probably more, the entire nation hears of God. Verse 5, some sackcloth. The people of Nineveh, they hear Jonah, it says. The people of Nineveh heard Jonah and believed God. And they called for a fast and they put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least, top to bottom. Isn't that fabulous? The people heard Jonah, but they believed God. As you are in your daily rhythms, I pray that people would hear you and believe God. Acts 2, Peter preaches about Jesus. He says, listen, Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited to you by God by miracles, signs, wonders, which, you got to memorize this, it's so precious, God did by him. God took Jonah and saved Nineveh by him. Could God save Nineveh all by himself? Yes. But he wants to use us to be part of the miracle. God did by him. Question, what is God doing by you today, this week? The Ninevites' hearts change. I was told as a young man, very clearly, the secret ministry mantle, if you want your ministry to be successful, is three things: bent knees, wet eyes, and a broken heart. Bent knees, wet eyes, and a broken heart. I have a sneaking suspicion, Jonah, if you can throw up the slides, Patrick, when he walked into that incredible advanced city of technology, this is a recreation, of course. They did some archaeological digs. And the next one, you can see it's pretty terrifying, these big, big cities, and finally a little reconstruction at the end. And then we can go back to the summary slide. Thanks, Patrick. Can you imagine walking up to that thing and wondering, what on earth am I getting into? And then I bet he saw some little kids running around, and he thought, man, that's something I need to do something about. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Stephen is getting stoned to death. He's a single sacrifice, again, pointing to Jesus. He says, he fell on his knees and cried out, Lord, don't hold this against them. Don't hold their sin against them. There's your attitude towards people and nations that hurt you. There's your attitude towards people and nations that hurt you. Two things. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And don't hold this sin against them. Put it on Jesus. That's what it means to be a Christian. There is absolutely no religious system that even comes near that in its magnificence and grandeur. Forgive them. Absolutely and perfectly. So I would encourage you, as I encourage myself every week, front and load your forgiveness. Someone will offend you, hurt you, trigger you, annoy you this week. I promise you. Someone will offend you, trigger you, hurt you, annoy you, absolutely this week. Decide now, I'm going to forgive them. The word reached the king of Nineveh, verse 6, and he stood up. He arose. Hebrew has themes, right? So you memorize them. Jonah, get up. He got up. The king stands up. Same word, kum. It means action, fulfillment, transformation. He covered himself with sackcloth and he sat in ashes. You remember Job, same thing. It's a sign of mourning. And he issued a proclamation through the whole land by the decree of the king and his nobles, let no beast, man, drink water, be covered with sackcloth, don't let them eat anything, and let them call out to God. Isn't that great? It's linguistic hyperbole in the Hebrew. And it actually says, let the beasts cry out, let the beasts put on their clothing. It's like everybody from the king to the bottom is going to go, we need to cry out to Almighty God. When's the last time you heard that from a politician? When's the last time Parliament said, stop, stop, shut up. Get on your knees. We're going to pray right now. That's what they need, clearly. Our political system is in a shambles. It's just amazing. And it echoes Psalm 2. Here's a challenge for you, friends. Psalm 2. The king proclaims the Lord's decree. The Lord said to me, God said to Jesus, you're my son. Today I become your father. Ask me one thing, and I will give you the nations, the heathen, the pagan. You guys know those words. I was talking to my new friends from Holstein today. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but the word pagan has this really cool Latin root. We always say, oh, the pagan nations, the heathen. So pagan, paganus, means country folk. Sorry. Sorry, gang. The people on the margins, the country folk were on the margins, and everything used to happen and flow out of the city. So Jonah goes to the city. God sends him to the city. It's his city. His name is on it because all culture, the arts, the academics, the infrastructure, the engineering, it all flows out of the city. And if you go there, God will get to the margins. Don't be afraid of the city. I had some friends down for my birthday in Oakville. Come and see me. The city's beautiful. Lots of people there. Finally, verse 4, a sharp turn, repentance. A sharp turn, verse 8. Let everyone turn. The word is shub in Greek, metanoia. You guys know the word repentance. Turn around to something. Follow me, says God to these people. Who knows? Maybe God will turn. That's the second time. And relent. That's the third time. Hebrew throws things in threes. So verse 8 is, let everyone turn from his evil way, from the violence in his hand. Who knows? God may turn and relent. And that word relent is not repentance. This is beautiful, guys. It's nacham. Maybe God will comfort. It's the word for breathe a sigh of relief, feel sorrow, pity, and help us. Isn't that great? Maybe God will do that. The king, maybe this great creator of the universe, the king says, I guess I'm not in charge after all. That's what it means to be a Christian, where you in your heart say, I'm not in charge anymore. I'll let God take control. And God may repent from his anger and not perish. And when God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way and relented, nacham, he turned around and he decided he would not bring the disaster. God knew he would save them. God wanted to save them. Jonah didn't. Is your heart confident in the God who wants to save your loved ones, your friends, and your enemies even more than you do? Last point, 5. What do we learn? What do we learn? After a long walk and a short talk and some sackcloth and a sharp turn, what do we learn? I ran away to Florida one day in a very, very difficult situation, had a big blowout, family blowout, and I thought, I need to get away. I need to be away from my family because I was hurt and I hurt them. Never forget it. I always end up at these crazy charismatic hand-raising wild churches. It's just, and they're fun. And this guy, I've heard of many sermons in my life. I'll never forget this one. This gnarly old guy got up there. I don't even know the passage he used, But I was feeling like a complete abysmal failure. And he looked at everybody and he went, listen, you know how they talk a little growl. You go, failure, it ain't fatal if it hasn't killed you. It ain't futile. You can bear some fruit in the middle of that failure. And it ain't final. God's got something for your future. Failure, not futile, not fatal, not final. You will fail this week, trust me. It's not futile, God will use it. It's not fatal, you're not gone yet, and it ain't final. Jonah understood this. Next week you'll find out that you can do great things for the Lord, bear fruit in a spirit of anger. Poor old Jonah bears fruit, brings people to Christ, the whole nation turns around, and I don't want to give away the end of the story, but it's possible to die a grumpy old man. We'll get to that next week. But this is the best part, the Christology. Jonah traveled from Israel to Nineveh. Jesus traveled from heaven to earth to save you and me. Jonah went to Nineveh unwillingly. Jesus went to the cross willingly. Jonah came out of a fish. Jesus came out of a grave. Jonah preached a few words for God. Jesus is the word of God. Jonah saw the king of Nineveh get off his throne to repent. Jesus is the king of kings who left his throne to save the world. And one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Christ is Lord. Jonah gave the Ninevites 40 days. Jesus has been patient for generations. Jonah goes to Iraq. You and I are sent to Mount Forest, wherever God sends us. Jonah knew God was merciful, but he didn't understand the cross. We do. Jonah, one man speaking for God. Jesus, one God speaking to every human being. Jonah lived and died, and his story remains. Jesus is the eternal God, and today his life is in you and in me. The story's about Jesus. It always is. You can't possibly have more when you receive Jesus. You need never enjoy any less. God in you right now. Thanks, Jeremy. Fathers, we just take some time to listen to our brother and enter into some worship and think about you, how you could take someone reluctant and angry and unwilling like Jonah and use him to turn an entire nation around is a miracle, and how you've saved each and every one of us in a very unique way is a miracle too. So we thank you for that. Lord, we know there's a world out there that desperately needs you. And we know there's our heart that desperately needs you. Thank you for using us and for revealing Jesus to the nations. We would ask for the nations, Lord. Give us opportunity to speak your word and show your love to people this week. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
A thousand generations falling down in worship to sing the song of ages to the Lamb. And all who have gone before us and all who will believe will sing the song of ages to the Lamb.